Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Monday, August 8th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D 34. This is Sports Ethos presentation, and if you haven't checked us out yet, go to sportsethos.com. It's our website, and you can see lots of free information, lots of regular podcasts. We're now going daily at fantasy football podcasts. We've been going daily all summer with our fantasy baseball podcast. Lots of articles, lots of pieces there. You can see all our packages as well. I'm part of the wager. You can get our wager pass for $15 a month. Handicap, right now, obviously, mainly baseball, tennis, and Aussie rules football. Going to ramp up NFL football, college football, and then basketball and hockey as we get into the fall. But lots of stuff going on. Sports Ethos is really exploding in a positive way. But we've kept all our packages very cheap. So they're reasonably priced. I recommend you check them out. Check it out. Lots of value there. Lots of free stuff you can read as well. Today in baseball, short slate, just 7 games as we start to hit the dog days of summer in August. So I'm going to go through them. The odd thing is I don't think I have a side or total. I've got some leans for sure. But mainly today, it's just props. There's some bad pitching matchups, bad offenses going against each other. You know, after this trade deadline, you've got teams like the Nationals. I don't even know who they're fielding. Well, I mean, I know who they're fielding, but it's like they're throwing out a quad A team. And, you know, they've got Anibal Sanchez, pitcher on the mound, who is, you know, next to Patrick Corbin almost in the fade train. So how do you handicap a game like that? They're going against the Cubs. I'll get to that game later, but it's just tough, I think, on a slate like this when you don't have a lot of good matchups, you got a lot of bad teams. And so instead I pivoted to some props, which I'm going to get into. But let's start off. First game of the night. We have, let me just pull up on the boards here. We have the Jays in Baltimore to face the Orioles in this AL East series. You can get Yusei Kikuchi on the hill, the lefty for the Jays, at minus 140 on the money line. You get Jordan Lyles at home, the righty, for the O's at plus 120. Total here is 9.5, so lots of runs expected to be scored. Juice to the under, though, at minus 115. And you get the Jays in the run line at plus 110. If anything, I would probably look to the plus 110 for the Jays because they have the ability to put up numbers, even in Camden Yards, with those fences moved back. Kikuchi comes in the season, 74 innings, 4.86 ERA, 1.47 whip, 43 walks, and 84 strikeouts. Another side, Lyles, 124 and two-thirds innings, 4.4 ERA, 1.43 whip, 41 walks, and 104 strikeouts. Now, Kikuchi is just back from about, well, he was out for, I guess, a few weeks. His last outing, good but not great against Tampa. 4 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's only given up 1 earned run in 3 of his last 4 outings. The one, oddly enough, where he got hit a little was against Oakland, 2 in the third, and he gave up 4 earned runs. On the flip side of that, Lyles is pitching well. He's given up 1 earned run against Texas and 6 and a third his last time out against Tampa, 5 and 2/3, no earned runs. So both these guys are doing all right lately. I just don't have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of faith in anybody being able to hold down the Jays the way that their lineup's hitting. And the Orioles, although trading off a few parts, I think have a weaker lineup. So if anything, I'd lean the Jays. Not really sure I want to lay 140 with Kikuchi, which kind of scares me. So maybe catch the run line at plus 110. But nothing really for me there. Next game of the night, we head to New York, and Cincinnati's in town. You get the Reds at plus 290. With young Justin Dunn on the hill. First game of the year for him. He came from the Mariners organization a couple years ago, so not really sure what to expect from him. You can get the home Mets off their big series win against the Braves, and Chris Bassett on the hill at minus 370. Total here is 9, juice the over, minus 115. You can get this line's almost comical. You can get the Mets run line at minus 170. So I think I'd be looking for an alt run line if I were on anything there. I'm not gonna lay 370 on a link in any game, and I'm not gonna lay 170 on a run line. You know, there might be some, you can make an argument, a very good argument. There's value on the Reds here, mine at plus 290. Bassett actually has been good this year, but his last few outings he hasn't been great. I only know that because I was on a couple strikeout props, which he didn't hit on the season. Bassett 122 innings, 3.61 ERA, 1.12 WHIP. So very solid numbers, 33 walks, 121 strikeouts. But his last couple of outings, well, his last outing against Washington, but you, me, and a few friends could probably shut down Washington these days. 7 innings, 6 hits, no earned runs, a walk, and 4 strikeouts. Part of that against Miami, not a strong offense, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. San Diego, 7 innings, 2 earned runs before that with 11 strikeouts. So he's doing well. I stand corrected there a little. He's been doing well, but he hasn't been striking out as many guys. That's what I was thinking of. Against Washington, 7 innings, just 4 strikeouts. Against Miami, 6 innings, just 2 strikeouts. So you got to back Bassett. You got to back the Mets the way they're playing, but you can't back them at 370. So there might be some value on the Reds at plus 290. And I might sit here and tell you tomorrow that you should have done that after a big win, but I just can't back them. Justin Dunn doesn't have great career numbers. And would he pitch 50 innings last year, 37 hits, 29 walks, 49 strikeouts, 3.75 ERA. So decent numbers, but maybe goes 3 or 4 innings. I can't really see him slowing down the Mets these days, but can't touch that. And then the number of 9, juice to the over at minus 115. I just don't know the Reds can put up numbers against Bassett. You know, the Mets can go out and win by 4 or 5. But, you know, do the Reds put up 3 or 4 to get that number close? I'm not sure they do. So another stay away from me on this slate. Next game of the night is in Chicago in the Windy City. I think the wind is actually blowing in a little, which made me pause. However, you get the Nats in town behind Annabelle Sanchez, and you get them at plus 165. And you can get Keegan Thompson for the home Cubs at minus 185. So Sanchez comes in, pretty small sample size, just 4 games, all losses, 20 innings, 7.65 ERA, 1.5 WHIP. He's putting a runner and a half on base every inning. 9 walks, 15 strikeouts. Keegan Thompson on the side, 93 innings, 3.48 ERA, 1.27 WHIP, 31 walks, 83 strikeouts. What I was on in this game, so Nats come in at plus 165. I don't know if I'm going to be able to back them at all, even on a money line the rest of the year. I would lean towards Thompson and the Cubs, but not at minus 185. Total here is 7.5, which I'm a little surprised. And that's got to be the wind. That is definitely the wind blowing in. Juice to the over at minus 120. And the run line for the Cubbies is plus 115. That's probably some value at plus 115. And I'd actually look to the over, and I'm going to explain in a second why. The over, it's juiced down to minus 120 at over 7.5. What I'm on here is the Cubs' first 5 over 2.5. And the reason being, Sanchez has pitched 4 games this year. Like I said, 20 innings, 21 hits, 17 earned runs, 9 walks, 15 strikeouts. Giving up 6 home runs. So I realize the wind's blowing in. But 20 innings, he's given up a hit an inning, a walk basically every second inning, 20 innings, 9 walks, and 17 earned runs, 18 runs, 17 earned runs. So just under a run an inning on 7.65 ERA. And quickly to go over those lines, the last outing against the Mets, 4 1/3, 5 runs, 4 earned runs. Against St. Louis, 5 2/3, 6 earned runs. Against Arizona, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Against Atlanta, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. So Atlanta, St. Louis are good teams, but he got hammered. He gave up 5, 6, and 4 earned runs against them. Arizona's not a good team. In 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Given up a homer in every game, and gave up 2 to St. Louis and 2 to Atlanta. So sure, the bottles might not be flying out with the wind blowing in, if it is, which I believe it is slightly. However, I just think Sanchez is going to give up too many hits, too many runners, and I'll take the Cubbies over 2.5. I got it at plus 110, and you can put a unit and a half on that. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to roll against Sanchez. This starts to work. Might be a bit of a fade Annabelle Sanchez train going on. I'm also on, or looking at least, the Sanchez under 16.5 outs. So he has to go under 5 2/3 innings. And he's done that once this year. So his innings, 4.1 against the Mets, 5.2 against St. Louis, 5 against Arizona, 5 against Atlanta. And he's pitched in those games 97 pitches, 108 pitches, 93 pitches, and 90. So they're doing the Patrick Corbin thing. They're paying this guy clearly nowhere near what they're paying Corbin. They're throwing him out there saying, we're going to lose. Somebody's got to take it for the team. Go get him, buddy. So they're going 90-plus pitches with him. He's getting hit, but he's going right around that five-inning mark. So I'm on – I think I'm going to be on the under 16.5 outs for Anibal Sanchez. Next game of the night, we travel out west, and we get the LA Angels against Oakland. This could be a tough series to watch, let's be honest. You can get just pulling up my starters here. You can get for the Angels, Jose Suarez on the mound, the lefty. You can get them at plus 105. And the home A's throw out Cole Irvin. You can get him at minus 125. Total here is 7.5. So not a lot of runs expected to be scored. And I think that's a statement more towards the hitting than the pitching. You can get the home A's on the run line at plus 170. And Suarez comes in 55 and a third innings, 4.55 ERA, 1.48 whip, 25 walks, 53 strikeouts. Cole Irvin, 115 innings, 3.05 ERA, 1.06 whips. Pretty solid numbers. 23 walks and 78 strikeouts. What I am on in this game is another outs prop for Suarez. And it's the under 16.5 outs. So he's got to go less than 5 2/3 innings. I got that around minus 120. And when I look at his numbers, he's started 10 games, and he has gone under that in all 10 games. He's only gone over 5 innings in 3 of 10 starts. He did have one outing against Seattle where he pitched 6 innings, but he came in as a follower. So he came in from like the 2nd to the 7th, I think it was. But other than that, 10 for 10, he's gone under this prop. And most recently, against the same Oakland A's, 5 innings. So you look at this line, 5 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 0 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. That's a pretty good line. Why is he only going 5 innings? Well, 91 pitches. And I said earlier, he's almost got a 1.5 whip. So he's just putting too many base runners on, just throwing too many pitches. Prior to that, 5 1/3 innings against KC, 3 hits, no earned runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. So his last 2 games, he's given up 0 earned runs, but he's went 5 5 1/3 innings. Prior to that, against the Dodgers, 3 2/3, 6 earned runs, it's the Dodgers. Prior to a game before that, on July 10th, 3 2/3 against Baltimore, 3 hits, 4 earned runs. Houston before that, 4 2/3. Seattle before that, 4 1/3. Boston before that, a struggling Boston team, 5 innings. So, but I hearken back, I go back to his last 2 games. Look like good starts. Good, 5 innings and 5.1 innings, 0 runs and 0 earned runs in both. But he's just throwing too many pitches, and he's too wild, putting too many guys on base. So I'm going to go under the 16.5 outs prop. So under 5 2/3 innings, he's going to go for Suarez in that game. Next game of the night, third last game, we're in Arizona, where the D-backs are hosting the Pirates. And I actually think this game could be a little tough to watch as well. Although Gallen's pitching, so he's always an interesting. When he's on, he's great. When he's off, he is quite off. So for the Pirates, we get Tyler Beter, which I'm pretty sure will be an opener. You can get them plus 205. You get Zach Gallen, the righty, on the hill for the D-backs, minus 245. Total here is 8. Juice to the over at minus 115. And the run line for the D-backs, you can get them at minus 120. We have BD's only pitched 30 2/3 innings, 2.64 ERA, 1.14 whip, 11 walks, 30 strikeouts. But I don't think he started. He might have started one game. Gallen, on the other hand, 111 1/3 innings, 3.31 ERA, 1.04 whip, 32 walks, 106 strikeouts. So I like the D-backs. I like Gallen, but not at minus 245. I mean, you could say that there's some value on the Pirates at plus 205. But their bullpen hasn't been that strong. So you take out BD after an inning or two, and then what do you get behind? A Bednar, their closers on the DL. I think Will Crow stepped up and done fairly well. But regardless, not a lot of faith in their bullpen to go 7 or 8 innings in this game. And the total here is 8, but again, not a lot of faith in either offense. The Pirates' offense to get the Gallen, and then Arizona, even if they're picking on the bullpen a little, are they going to score 5 or 6, maybe 7 runs? I doubt it. So probably stay away on this game for me. Next game is in San Diego for an NL West battle. And we get Alex Wood, the lefty, on the hill for the Giants, who are in town. You can get them at plus 160. We get Blake Snell for the Padres at minus 180. Total here, 7.5. Juiced evenly to minus 110 on both sides. And you get the home Padres coming in after their crushing thumping by the Dodgers. You can get them on the run line at plus 115. Now, Wood comes in 106 innings pitched, 4.42 ERA, 1.25 whip, 26 walks, 105 strikeouts. Snell, on the other hand, had an up and down year, but seems to have turned it around. He's had a few good outings, and we'll get to that in a second. But 67 innings, so not a huge year for him because of his injury. 67 innings, 4.146 ERA, 1.33 whip, 34 walks, 87 strikeouts. But more recently, when you pull up his numbers, he's had a bit of a run. He's finally doing his Blake Snell things. His last few outings against Colorado, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 9 strikeouts. Against the Twins before that, 6 innings, 4 hits, an earned run, a walk, and 7 strikeouts. Against the Mets, impressive outing, 5 innings, 4 hits, no walk, no earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. So we have noticed he's given up 2 earned runs in his last three starts, which are 17 innings, but he's also only walked 3 guys. So in the season, he's got 67 innings pitched, but he's walked 34 batters. If Blake Snell can control that, he is a very good pitcher. Problem is, you never know if he can. Now, the Giants have struggled. The Giants hit lefties better, so you may look at the money line and say, plus 160, there's probably some value there, but the Giants' bats have just been so cold and so inconsistent. You know, if I knew Blake Snell was going to have a bad outing like he had many times earlier this year, I'd maybe consider that, but he's been pitching well. And as I look deeper in his line, in his last 6 starts, he had 1 blow-up at Colorado, 3 2/3, 5 earned runs. So that happens to everybody. But other than that, in 5 of his 6 starts, he's allowed – sorry, 4 of his 6 starts, he's allowed 1 earned run. And one of the other start, he allowed 0 earned runs. So he hasn't been pitching well against Colorado, Minnesota, at New York, at Colorado, against these same Giants, and then against the Dodgers. So he's faced the Giants just once this year, 6 innings, 3 hits, an earned run, 2 walks, and 11 strikeouts. Can you repeat that performance? I'm not really sure. But I'm not going to back them at minus 180. The Padres and their bats, which everybody's jumping on. I think price are getting a little inflated, but that run line at plus 115 might be the deal if you're looking to play this game. So last game of the night, and I do have a couple plays on that one, is in Seattle, where the Mariners are in town. And you can get the Yankees behind Jameson Taillon at minus 110, and you get the Mariners behind righty Logan Gilbert at minus 110. So basically a coin flip. Total here is at 8, juice to the under, minus 115. If anything, I would lean to the over in this game. I know the Yankees are struggling, but they're still the Yankees, and Taillon has been struggling, so the M's could probably put up a few runs. You can get the Yankees on the run line at plus 150. Don't think I'll be touching that. But what I am on is Seattle first 5 over 1.5 runs. Got that at about minus 135, so shop that around a little. But first 5, they basically got to get 2 runs in the first 5 innings. And then also I've got the game total, first 5 over 4. Got that at minus 115. So Taillon has struggled recently. He got off to a good start, but he's been pretty mediocre recently. These two teams faced each other, and these two pitchers faced each other, 6 days ago now. And Taillon went 4 2/3, just 2 hits, 6 runs, 5 earns, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, gave up 2 homers, got hit hard and hit hard early. The flip side, Gilbert went 5 1/3, gave up 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts, but he gave up all those runs in the first 5 innings, I think. Well, he gave up 3 in the 4th and then 3 in the 6th inning. I think a reliever gave up a few of those runs. But regardless, they both got hit. They both got hit hard. And the reason I'm on the first 5 for the game over, Gilbert has pitched well, but he's pitched against some good competition lately, but he's been giving up a few more hits and a few more runs. And the Yankees are the Yankees. As cold as they may be, they can still get to anybody for a couple of runs. And really, both teams get to two each. It's a push. One of them put 3 on the board. It's a cover for the first 5. And Taillon, Prior to that, Seattle outing against Kansas City, good game, 6 innings, no earned runs. But against Baltimore, 2 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Against Boston, who's been struggling, he went 6 innings, 1 earned run. But a week before that, he also went 5 innings, 6 earned runs against Boston. At Pittsburgh before that, 5 1/3. This is back in early July, 5 1/3, five earned runs. At Oakland before that, five innings, three earned runs. So I think he's slowing down. He seems to be slowing down. You know, decent outing against Kansas City recently, but Kansas City can be had at any time, I believe. I know they've been doing well lately, but shutting them down doesn't mean you're back, as far as I'm concerned. So it's kind of a bet against Taillon in general, and then a bet that the Yanks bats can put up a run or two. So I'm going to go first five Seattle over 1.5, and I'm going to be on the game total over first five over 4. So quick rundown of today's slate. Again, like I said, I just couldn't find any real value in any of the lines or the totals. So pivoted to some props. So we have some action out there. Hope everybody found something they like. Tomorrow's a bigger slate, so hopefully there'll be a lot more things to look at. But before we go, I do want to remind you of our partners at Manscaped. If you haven't already, go to manscaped.com. When you check out, use the coupon code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20. And get 20% off your order and free shipping. So, as I said earlier, if you haven't checked out sportsethos.com, please do. A lot of interesting stuff there for free and some really reasonable packages. And if you haven't yet, please follow me on Twitter. It's Doug_Reed34. Always looking for feedback, comments, and interaction. Send me a note, a DM. We can chat in there. If I haven't explained anything or you want further clarification or any ideas for future shows, always happy to chat. So enjoy the night. Short slate, interesting plays, I think some fun props, and let's make some money, and we will chat tomorrow.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.